Blog Talk Radio.
By my co-host Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Not too much.
Cool. And we got our other co-host on the line who's joining us this week after disappearing. Well, actually, he did text me, but I was doing the show and I didn't see the text until after. But Craig, welcome back to the show.
Greetings and salutations. You guys, how are you?
We're okay.
Good. I'm fine.
Good to know.
Cool. Well, this show is going to be about, well, the majority about the show is going to be about the Fabulous Freebirds, because they were announced as being inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame, which I will be at live in Dallas, Texas, and I can't wait for it. So we're gonna talk about the Freebirds and all the different members of the Freebirds and what we think of Jimmy Garvin going in with the Freebirds. And everything, but I've seen a lot of the Freebirds. Couture has seen a lot of the Freebirds, but let's be honest, the real expert here is Craig. So, Craig, I'm going to allow you to give everyone the history of the Fabulous Freebirds.
Okay.
Started in the 70s.
According to the Wikipedia page, no, just kidding. No, I know very little about the Fabulous Freebirds. To be honest, I think my first exposure to them was in the Aftermags, and they had Michael P.S. Hayes on the ad. He was wearing a half shirt and some skin-tight pants that you could tell what religion the man was by how tight these pants were. And that's true. And the long, flowing blonde hair, and it was just an ad for Bad Street USA, and I want to say it was a cassette tape that you could order through there, and, you know, this is before the downloads and such. And
wait for delivery. Which seems like the Neanderthal shit now. No.
Yeah, right, and I want to say you could actually purchase a vinyl as well.
I think they did had a record out too. So
that was my first exposure to the Fabulous Freebirds. But then I want to say it was on the Lord of the Rings DVD that came out that you could buy through the same magazine, oddly enough. There was a match on there with the Freebirds against the Von Erichs in, and this is Old Man Von Erich in the Texas Stadium show. And
yeah.
It was just a wild brawl of a match. And the one takeaway I had from that, what is that long-haired rocker guy doing the moonwalk for?
That was pretty funny. Katrina, when did you discover the Freebirds, basically?
I started watching in 85. I started watching, like, Crockett. But then later in, like, the late 85, early 86, I just go to, like, a Mid-South UWF. And they were just – and I started watching that, and they weren't there yet. But, you know, I got the magazines and stuff and read about them, and – obviously, you know, there was always one of the hot things in the aftermath is always covered was Freebirds and Von Erichs. And I think they were on ESPN at this time, weren't they? Wasn't World Class?
Yeah, it was
like
Legends of World Class.
Yeah, Legends of World Class. And they would show, like, a lot of the old stuff. And I got to see some there, but I really got to see them in the UWF and Bill West territory. Probably about the, like, in March of 1986 was the first time I actually really got into seeing them. So,
cool.
Which I think was probably the last big run as a three-man team was in 86. So.
Yeah. The first time I started seeing them was on Georgia. And really the first memories, I'm sure, I know I saw them before the breakup, but what my earliest memories are like during the breakup when it was mainly Hayes and Gordy, but they broke up and Gordy was hanging out with like Ivan Koloff and he was teaming with the Superfly, Jimmy Snuka. I remember that.
Yeah.
And they had didn't they do something where they put like the baby bonnet and stuff on Terry Gordy on one of those matches? And then it came down to, like, they were all beating the shit out of Michael Hayes in a cage and the whole bunch of them. And then Gordy finally just couldn't take it no more, and he just stepped in and just defended Hayes. And then the Freebirds got back together. And I think Buddy came back, but they were just there for a little bit before they went to Texas. And I was the Hayes' first appearance in World Class was just like a – it wasn't for TV. It was just he made an appearance here at the show here in San Antonio, and he just came out and he cut a promo and that he was, you know, enjoying the show and was excited and that he decided that he was going to call his brothers and that they'd be seeing a lot more. We'd be seeing a lot more of them. And then that's when they came into World Class and stuff.
Did they
so,
in
yeah,
Georgia, weren't they trying to cut his hair in the cage and that's when Gordy turned back?
I believe so. I think they wanted him to cut the hair, and then he was like, fuck that, you know. And then
they did the same exact angle
in
88. They did the same exact angle in 88, if you remember, in World Class, when they had a little feud there, when they were all there. So they did that, too, yeah. So
yeah,
they did that one twice.
You know, wrestling, you know, you rinse and repeat. You just don't do it every day for 20 years like they do on Raw. You know, you lay it dormant for a couple of years. You know, like they brought up the hair cream twice. You know, they brought it out when they got the dog, and then when Iceman put it on Buddy Roberts, which is one of the fucking most awesome angles from the fucking 80s, and then Buddy Roberts running around with, you know, the hairpiece and wig.
He was
and,
the first bald guy with the headgear, I think, I ever saw.
Yeah,
know,
I'm sure he's probably not
wear
first,
the headgear.
But he's a, and he looked so goofy in it, especially when he had the big, like, kind of hairy wig underneath and stuff. And
yeah.
All anyone had to do was act like they were going for that wig, and people would go freaking insane and stuff. And Craig, I know you didn't see, like, a whole lot of all the Freebirds, but I know you saw, like, a lot of probably Gordy and Hayes after. What are your thoughts on Hayes, Gordy, and do you have any thoughts on Buddy at all?
Didn't see a lot of Buddy, but when Terry went to ECW. He might have been the best, one of the best big men in the business. That guy, that guy could move, and his punches and just his, man, he was good in the ring. Michael P.S. Hayes, if you've ever seen a Hall of Fame induction ceremony, this man has the worst style of any man walking the earth. It's like a combination of, it's like a combination
Here's the best way to describe it.
Okay.
He picture in your mind the most wackiest, outlandish, craziest pimp outfit and multiply it times 100.
I was trying to find a nice way to say pimp. but the stark white suit and a white fedora to match, and then maybe throw in, a red vest and then a red band around the fedora. Michael Hayes, quite frankly, dresses like a rich black man. So, but just tremendous on the mic. A while back we did we watched the show and we did like a retro thing. And it was the angle with that they did with Kerry Von Erich when they slammed his cage into the door. When they slammed his head into the cage door. And I just remember these yahoos sitting in a wood-paneled, looked like it was a man cave straight out of the 70s. And there's some Southern rock playing in the back. And you've never seen three more grown men look absolutely homosexual, but did it so cool.
Well, shit, like the first time I think Michael Hayes came out on World Class TV, wasn't he wearing a very pink robe with like pearls and all kinds of stuff? But not remember. And Mercer was like, he's got a little good, but he's got a little bad to him. Or, you know what I mean? Trying to make like homosexual reference without actually making the homosexual.
Right. And the bleach blonde hair, just put it so over the top because his beard is as black as can be. The rest of his gross body hair, just as dark as can be. And then this bleach blonde, platinum blonde hair flowing and just so flamboyant. And man, what a great heel. What a great heel.
Yeah, he was freaking awesome. Couture, your thoughts on the three members?
Michael Hayes, I think he's probably, in my opinion, I would put him maybe in the top 10 or 15 talkers of all time. He was great on the mic. Gordy was, I put him up there with, like, Undertaker, Bruiser Brody, Vader. Is the best big man of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy was good. He was good as being the Weasley heel, but I saw still one of the best matches I've ever seen was like in 1986 in Jackson, Mississippi. I saw him and Terry Taylor go like 40 minutes for UWF TV title. And then like, what was a fucking awesome match. And last time I actually saw him, it wasn't much after that. He kind of went downhill, like, starting in 86. But he was very good. So, we actually got a phone call, Ed. Are you about the switchboard?
Yeah, I was going to take that in a couple minutes
okay.
After we got our thoughts out of the way on them. So, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay, well, like, my thoughts, like I say, like, basically everything Couture said. Michael Hayes is top 10 promo all time. Heel or face. I mean, you could cut a great babyface promo too, even though the heel is his specialty.
Great commentator with Jim Ross and UWF, one of my favorite teams of all time.
Oh, Yeah, they were great. Oh man, I loved them when they did the commentary. That's probably my that might be Jim's actually best partner, even though it was kind of short and not as well known as like the other ones. But
yeah,
he's awesome. Terry Gordy, one of the best big men ever, and might be the best big man bumper ever, because he used to bump around like a madman. I mean, Jesus Christ, he was awesome. And then Buddy's like those guys you don't appreciate at the time, like. You watch the Freebirds live at the time, and goddamn, Buddy sucks. He sucks. I could grow up, and I could in 3 years, I'm gonna grow up, and I can go out kick Buddy Roberts' ass for the Von Erichs. You know what I mean? That's how you see Buddy at the time. But then now it's like, well, goddamn, he was the most important part of the Freebirds. He's the one that kept them strong because they could beat him.
Yep.
You expected him to be beat, and he never had to beat Hayes or Gordy. And he was actually a really, really good worker. Like Contreras was saying, I mean, he could do everything. And, you know, just a tough son of a gun because he took the worst of the beatings from the Von Erichs because those guys, they used to get in, light each other up and stuff. And then just an awesome heat magnet. He had more heat than any other wrestler to my mom. Because my mom used to lose her goddamn mind when Buddy Roberts came out. She just said, I hate him. He's so stupid. He's stupid. Look at him. And then, like, one time he would try and do the moonwalk, and he took, like, a couple steps back, and he fell on his ass, and my mom never laughed so goddamn hard. And I swear to God, my mom hated Buddy Roberts, dude. But,
dude just looked gross, kind of.
Yeah, and then, you know, we'll talk about stories about his grossness coming up, because he's a very disgusting person. And, so... All right, we'll go ahead and take this call. I think I might know who it is. So let me see who's calling here. Caller calling from area code 337. Who's this?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Barely.
We can hear you.
I think I filmed the very last Terry Gordy match in Louisiana.
Oh, is that right?
I think it was 2000. What year did he die?
I think he died in 2000, didn't he? Maybe 2001. I'm not sure.
Well, it was not long before he died that he wrestled a match in Louisiana, and I was actually there, and I videotaped it, and it's pretty crazy because. I thought he was a great worker, and like he didn't seem.
Wait, what'd you say?
Like when I saw him there, he didn't seem like there's anything wrong with him. I mean, he seemed normal.
Yeah, because this
was
after way after the accident, you know, where he OD'd and his brain did
for
a while.
But I mean, I could see him in the locker room, and he was talking with I think his daughter and maybe his wife and or someone, and he seemed okay. And then
I think people make more of a story about like, you know, he wasn't as good as in the ring, but somehow it's kind of worked his way that where he was like became like really slow as a person. Like behind the stage, which I don't think that really happened. I mean, maybe it slowed him down, but I don't think it like. I think people think he was like half retarded by the end or something.
I don't know about that, but he definitely wasn't the worker he was back in, you know, All Japan or with Dr. Death. But I mean, he didn't seem like he was about to die or anything. And like I think. Might have been 6 months or less after his match that I filmed in or saw in Louisiana that he died. And, I mean, it's really sad. But I am glad the Freebirds are getting their due respect in Dallas. That should be a good pop for them.
Oh, yeah, it should be pretty cool. I can't wait for it.
Hopefully you get to see Kevin Von Erich again. I'm thinking he might induct himself.
You think Von Erich's going to induct him?
Yeah, I think
well,
maybe Von Erich.
He inducted the Von Erich, so, I mean, it's like only fair, you know, payback.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we let you go, Logan?
No, Ed, just, I mean, I, like I said, I saw Terry Gordy just a few months before he died, and it's really crazy that he, it's kind of sad that when I saw him, like, a few months later, he died. He seemed okay, but you never know, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, unfortunately, it's the same story with, like, so many other wrestlers were. You know, you might see them at an appearance here or there, and then the next thing you know, they're announced as passed away. So it's just, you don't hear it as much nowadays, but thankfully, for I guess it's been more older wrestlers lately than young guys. But, you know, we're almost doing a show every week where we had to talk about somebody dying.
At least with the Freebirds, you got some of them that are still alive, so that's not going to be... It's going to be more...
And that's another reason Jimmy Garvin's probably going in, because he's still, you know, there's another person alive, at least, to talk. So.
Yeah.
It's going to be more happy than sad, for sure. So that's good.
Cool. Well, cool. Logan, we're gonna get on with the conversation, so I appreciate you calling in and stuff. So keep on listening, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, Ed. Take care, man.
Take it easy, man. Okay, going back, well, I guess we can jump right into Jimmy Garvin. And I got on Twitter after the announcement, and I'm seeing all these people laughing at Jimmy Garvin going into the Hall of Fame, complaining Jimmy Garvin's going into the Hall of Fame. And James in Kentucky, right? Is that his name? John in Kentucky.
James in Jesus Christ, dude. I can't believe that. Everybody's James in Kentucky. They're one of those callers.
Yeah, he was going to call in, and or he might still call in and debate Jimmy Garvin going in. And I feel I win the argument automatically because Vince Sr.'s limo driver is in the Hall of Fame.
So going in the same class as the Godfather. I'd be more upset if the Godfather going to the Hall of Fame than Jimmy Garvin.
Yeah, but that's more so they could get JBL out there. You know what I mean? In Texas, that's a JBL thing. You know what I mean?
He and Ron Simmons are inducting him. So
yeah,
it's a way to get Ron Simmons
to
stay down.
Texas. Yeah. So Ron can say damn, and JBL can cut a promo. And then. Godfather can get a pop when he comes out with some fully clothed host and stuff. But I'm like...
And compared to everybody else who goes in, he's fine compared to everybody else who goes in, so it ain't a big deal.
Yeah, okay. Maybe at the very end, him and Hayes were shells of the workers they once were. They still have the personality to promos, but they weren't the workers. But I remember, I didn't see it, but I remember reading about Jimmy Garvin in Florida having a great run. Mm-hmm. I remember him having a great run against Rick Martel for the AWA title for about a year. And then he had that great run in World Class. And then he had a great run in the NWA, you know, fucking because of Jimmy Garvin, Ric Flair got pushed out by a man in a dressed like a woman, and J.J. Dillon got thrown in the swimming pool. You know? Fucking, that's Hall of Fame material right there. Let alone Slave for a Day. You know what I mean? He was, maybe it's not the first vignette, but it's the first remembered vignette. It's still one of the greatest vignettes of all freaking time. There's a reason WWE does all these vignettes is because of this, basically, one. I mean, this one vignette just changed. To me, it changed wrestling because that's people saw what you could do with
a vignette. And also the valet feud really started with him, you know?
Yeah.
The feud with the valet.
They even made it look like he was fucking Precious, you know, right after like the angle and stuff. So as far as being a wrestler worker, I mean, he's perfectly fine going into the WWE Hall of Fame. There's no one can bitch about that, especially considering like say Godfather, fucking limo driver, whatever. And you know, yeah, he was with them for a couple of years. It wasn't the heyday, but he was pretty much like a free bird in world class. You know what I mean? Because it was four of them against
the
ran the
road with those guys. I mean, he was in the fucking Bad Street USA video, if you recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he went up and down the road with those guys. Yeah, and he went up and down the road with those guys, like, for years and years. So if they want to put him in, I mean, that's fine. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
To me, he would go in on his own, but, you know, this is fine.
Yeah.
I honestly think this is the only way they were going to get Jimmy Garvin into the Hall of Fame for WWE.
Yeah, probably that, too, so...
Well, you know.
Exactly, and they haven't inducted very many folks. I mean, Abdullah and who else?
Well, there's a few.
Not a ton, though.
Bachwinkle. You know, so happens every once in a while. But yeah, I mean, because he wasn't like those guys. You know what I mean? He was had a good run, but he wasn't big enough in another territory to mandate WWE. So, you know, it. I think a lot of it has to do with what Couture said. It gives two people the chance to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were both great promos, so it should be really good. So I think that's a big part of it.
I think it's really cool that they're going in at this time because for almost a year now, we've been hearing about the New Day, you know, Freebird rules, and anybody can defend it at any time. And it's like, man, if you're a younger viewer, you're like, Freebird rules, what? You know? And
that actually scares me, though, because that makes me think that the New Day might be inducting them now.
Exactly.
No. I hear you, Ed.
They would do something like that. They honestly would do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, but I made a post talking about my anger that besides I'm happy Jimmy Gam's going in, but what about Little Richard Marley? What about Bad Street? What about Big Daddy Dink? I guess you could even throw Diamond Dallas Page and also the Blackbird Iceman Parsons. You know what I mean? What about them? How come they ain't got no love? Iceman's still alive? He cut a promo?
Really, Ed?
You can't compare those guys to Jimmy Garvin.
Yeah.
He's trolling him.
But I love...
He's trolling him.
I like Little Richard Marley. That was fucking funny. And then, you know, Brad Armstrong was Bad Street, so it's not like it was somebody who was bad under the mask.
And as the Freebirds, Hayes and Garvin were a good team. They were, I mean, they held the World Tag Team titles like twice, the U.S. Tag Team titles twice. They held the WCW six-man titles and U.S. Tag title at the same time. I mean, this was they didn't do anything.
They proved that the Battle Bowl drawings were real because they were the first partners to face off in the Battle Bowl.
That's true.
Mm.
Of course, by that point, all they really had was Michael Hayes had his left hand that he was the most beautiful left hand in the history of pro wrestling, and Jimmy Garvin had the DDT and stuff. And I know Craig won't remember this, but Couture, I know you read the Aftermags. Do you remember the Aftermag? This might have been before you started watching wrestling, but there was a big cover story that the Freebirds wanted another member, and it was Michael Hayes wanted Mel Moskowitz to be a Freebird.
No, I don't think I ever read this.
Wow.
Oh.
Gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, no. It was, well, this is, you know, Moskowitz, you know, he was one of the poster boys in the 70s for the pro wrestling magazines in early 80s, and they would do whatever they could to get him on the cover, and this was the cover where the Freebird, Michael Hayes wanted Mel Moskowitz to be a Freebird. I don't know if he thought the Freebirds were going to go to Mexico and hang out for a while or what.
They wanted somebody around that they could make fun of, and they wouldn't know what they were saying. I don't know.
Something. But, yeah, I remember. I mean, I own that issue. So I was like, why would that just doesn't work?
mean, they needed somebody else for them to. They wanted somebody else for their opponents to hate because it wouldn't sell for them. So, I don't know.
I for real am on the Wikipedia page because this is the only way I can participate in the conversation. But the Wrestling Observer newsletter, you guys heard of them? Anyway, Dave has given them Tag Team of the Year in 1980 with Gordy and Roberts. Feud of the Year award with the Von Erichs in 1983. Feud of the Year with the Von Erichs in 1984. The Match of the Year in 1984, Freebirds versus Von Erich. This was Kevin, Kerry, and Mike. Anything Goes, July 4th at Fort Worth, Texas, at Texas Stadium. And Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame, Class of 2005, Hayes, Gordy, and Roberts.
Yeah, that was an awesome match against the Von Erichs. That's not even the best match against the Von Erichs. The best one was with Dave, when David was still alive, and it was a 2 out of 3. And that was fucking the best. You can see it on YouTube. It's kind of crappy, you know, the quality of it, but that's the fucking best match. And I mean, They should is that and that's just not the feud of the year. That's to me, it's still the greatest feud in the history of pro wrestling. You know what I mean? There's been some great feuds, you know, Tommy Rich, Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer, as far as like you know, late feuds or, but to me, nothing will ever top that because it literally seemed like these dudes hated each other. You know, when Kevin ever wrestled a Freebird, he looked like he literally wanted to kill him. You know, and the turn was perfect because, you know, earlier in the show, you have David winning the 6-man titles with him. You know what I mean? So it looks like everything's going to be happy and it's going to be a long-lasting friendship. And then later that night, you know, they slammed the cage door. How many times has that angle been repeated?
It's part of the title, so Buddy could have the title too. So,
yeah,
you know, because they had the quote unquote transportation problems, so he gave up his. And also, they screwed the fans because the fans voted Michael Hayes as a referee in that match. So, you know,
I'll just never forget. There's that like 6'7" skinny ginger who comes up behind Terry Gordy and has to be restrained because he's literally about to attack Terry Gordy after that happened. And the heat that these motherfuckers had in Texas, just as over as the Von Erichs were, they had just that much heat, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just perfect feud because it was 3-on-3, you know what I mean? They were the ones that broke out that 6-man title way before the Russians had it, you know what I mean? And shit. So just, fuck, dude, that was just the fucking best feud. And then, you know, the video that, you know, we played the song earlier. I mean, it's still to this day one of the coolest intro songs. It's not top five. It's not the top fucking best intro song all time.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome.
Yeah. What do you think? You're the music expert here. Tell us give us your rundown on Michael Hayes as a singer and the video and the music and everything, Craig.
Well, if you hear hear him sing, there is a lot of effects on his voice, and that's fine. You know, Britney Spears has been doing it. All the teeny bopper girls have been doing it.
Also, the garbage out of Pearl Jam does it too. So,
oh please. Anyway, as a song, it's actually. It's super, super catchy. I mean, you played it for, you know, the intro to this podcast, and yeah, it's going to be stuck in my head the rest of the evening. But as a song, it's if you're listening to an 80s retro station or whatever, you could slip that right in almost anywhere. I mean, it's great. I mean, I ain't going to lie. I mean, the reason that I even know, like I said, about the Freebirds at all is because of they were selling the silly cassette tape. So they must have made money on it because otherwise they wouldn't have taken out ads again and again and again and again.
Well, I mean, he did concerts and stuff like that too. So
yes, I remember. I remember the. Gosh, what was I watching? They actually showed these jokers up on stage, you know, performing it live.
I remember in WCW, like, I think it was like the very early 90s, I would have them, like, he and Jimmy Garvin, like, halftime at, the, like, the NBA games or something on TBS or something like that.
Yeah, I vaguely remember seeing them, quote-unquote, live.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Hayes, like, when he came back, like, he came back to World Class, he was kind of doing a concert and got attacked by the other Freebirds, and then, like, Kevin came and saved him?
Well, Kevin was there, and I think the other, I think it was, like, Iceman and Buddy attacked Kevin, and then Buddy swung an electric guitar at Kevin, but he hit Michael. And I mean,
oh,
this
that's
is
right, that's right.
Legit electric guitar. This wasn't none of that Jeff Jarrett bullshit. You know, I mean, it was like he knocked the shit out of that. I mean, so.
Actually, I have a funny story about Jeff Jarrett, if you want to get off topic
sure.
for a second.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. So they brought in, ECCW brought in Jarrett about 2 months ago up in Canada. Might have been 3 or 4 months ago. Anyway, this kid that I know, the only reason I know him, he worked out in Buddy's ring. He's a ref around the Northwest. And he was reffing Jarrett's match against some local guy in the semi-main. And the deal was Jarrett was going to do the job for the kid, and he was going to cream the guy with a guitar at the end of the match to get his heat back. Well, the kid in the kid that he put over ended up getting hurt, and so the guy that was the ref that one of my good friends works with, they called an audible in the ring on the fly. And Jarrett goes, "You're taking a guitar shot, kid." And he's like, "What?" And then, bam, killed the ref with the guitar. And he said it knocked him loopy for a second, but he got to the back, and Jarrett was apologizing again and again and again. "I'm so sorry. I had to call an audible. I'm so sorry." And he goes, no, that's okay. And Jarrett took the remnants of the guitar and signed it and gave it to the kid. and said, "It just says, 'I'm sorry, Jeff Jarrett.'"
Jeff Jarrett, another great singer.
Oh, yeah. Really. Yeah.
Well, speaking of singing, well, I was, because I was about to bring this up before Craig told the story. Did either of you guys go to a Raw taping back when they used to set up? When Doc Hendricks had his band and he used to sing at fucking Raw, or how like the
I've heard,
like
I've heard
the commercials.
But I've never seen it.
Did you ever see that, Craig?
I never saw that. I think I remember reading about it in like WWE magazine at the time.
Yeah,
I never saw it with my own two eyes.
It was a short thing, and I guess maybe they made a couple appearances on, like, Raw or something. But I remember going to a taping and out to the side. I guess you wouldn't have seen this because they never showed San Antonio World Class. But World Class, they used to come out from this one side, and above it, that's where they had Michael Hayes. And they had the band, and Michael Hayes would sing, and he would sing Bad Street, and he'd sing The Boys Are Back in Town. And then he'd sing Sitting on a Dock, that song?
Sitting on a Dock of the Bay.
Yeah, Sitting on a Dock of the Bay. And he'd sing a couple other ones, but his voice is so thrash, dude. I mean, he didn't have a good voice back in the 80s, and he's, you know, it wasn't that great. But, I mean, it kind of sucked, but in a lot of ways it was still kind of awesome because, I mean, they're calling him Doc Hendricks, but to me it's still Michael Hayes. you know, kind of doing the concerts and stuff. And I got to see one of those live. So, I mean, that was fucking crazy.
It's funny, I was watching on YouTube the other day, I was watching an old episode of, you remember the Live Wire show WWF had on Saturday mornings? It's like a call-in show. And this was like right after, remember when Jim Ross went like nuts and did that speech on Raw, burying Vince McMahon? Y'all might have reviewed that recently or something. Craig on Brian and Vinny, I don't know if y'all did or not.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
When he's talking about McMahon fired him because he got Bell's palsy and stuff like this. And this is when he's bringing back like the fake Razor and Diesel back then. Mm-hmm. And,
And so
they were going to have like Vince McMahon on Livewire. And then who should show up? Like it was Cornette. It was Cornette and Doc Hendricks. And who should show up? Just out of nowhere, the first time I've ever seen him was Vic Venom, who was really Vince Russo, if you recall.
He
was like he was writing a Raw magazine or something like that, and he's on there and he's talking about how horrible it is that Doc Hendricks is outing everybody. He's going on this shoot rampage. He's calling him Michael P.S. Hayes, and you know, just like now he's like a corporate shill. And then and then Doc Hendricks, he morphed like for 1 minute into Michael P.S. Hayes and cuts a promo on the fucking guy. So you would not want to mess with Michael P.S. Hayes, trust me. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So, it was like when Booker T was a king, but he'd morph into the ghetto Booker T when he get upset, you know, when he cuts a promo.
When he leaves his accent and everything. Yeah. Fucking Russo was almost like the co-host of that show. He was on it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was downhill from there. Yes.
Hey Ed, I've got to bounce in about 15 minutes. Let's talk about some of Michael P.S. Hayes' hijinks. Since he's gotten a backstage role.
Well, he's not afraid to use the N-word. That's one thing.
Well, there's that.
I think I
don't think he's so much a racist. I just think he's an idiot.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, people look back at like in the 80s. Oh my God, he's got like the face paint with the Confederate flag and stuff. I mean, I'm from the South. Yeah. To me, the Confederate flag was Ole Miss football and fucking Dukes of Hazzard. It didn't mean anything more to me. Still don't, really. I mean.
Yeah, and a lot of it was also, like, you know, the war between Texas, you know, and Tennessee. Or, no, I mean Georgia. I'm
Georgia.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texas and Georgia and stuff. So, I mean, that never bothered me. And you know what sucks is they're going to have to be extra careful. They're only going to be able to show photos without it. They're not going to show any of the entrances where they had it. They're going to have to, like, cut sort of, like, entrances just for, like, they make a turn and it's on the roads. I mean, it was part of their outfits and stuff. I mean, basically their outfits were Confederate flags just, Michael Hayes had the Ric Flair.
You know, the Briscoes still use that today?
Yeah. So, I mean.
Look today, don't they use the Confederate flag?
Who?
Briscoes.
The Briscoes? Yeah, they have, like, bandanas, don't they?
Not so much anymore. They've not been off in the last year.
Well, that's sad.
But, well, they've had it. So it's, like, it's kind of a shame that people are going to make something that's, like, if they do, like, a pitcher does make it through or something, someone somewhere.
Very sorry about what happened 200 years ago. I wasn't around then. Not my fault.
Robert will be leading the charge on Twitter about how racist they are and you're putting racist in and this and that. But it's not a big deal to me. It's wrestling. Wrestling is built on racism. It is. I mean, I don't give a fuck what anyone says. The best fucking gimmicks are racist.
True.
You know?
I mean, just using the foreign menace stuff, I mean, that's might as well be racism right there. They use shit to use that all the time in the 80s and the 90s and still today some ways. So.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, the Freebirds, they're also, like, you know, they're some of the biggest drinkers, or known to be, like, some of the biggest drinkers of all time. And, you know, just getting all kinds of – I remember Michael Hayes being on the local morning show, Lau and Han. You could tell he was still drunk and hungover as a motherfucker doing an interview and talking about how he was still drunk and hungover and fucking woke up underneath a car or something, some shit like that. But, like I say, it's my, one of my favorite stories from the Freebirds is one of the disgusting Buddy Roberts stories, and that is basically Buddy is like certain wrestlers try to travel as light as possible. I think your little Buddy Brian Hours is the same way, but basically they just carry the clothes that are on their back and their gear. And it's like one set of gear for like a whole run, you know, the whole fucking road trip. And so Buddy had this bag, and that's where he kept his gear. And one day the other Freebirds found a dead possum on the road, and they got this possum, and they put it in Buddy's bag. So Buddy goes, and they go to the show. I guess it's like a Mid-South show, and they go in the dressing room, and everybody's in there, and then Buddy opens up the fucking bag, and everybody gets sick and has to run out because of the smell is so disgusting from this roadkill, and Buddy just grabs his gear and puts it on and wants to go wrestle. And shit, so, I mean, Jesus Christ, that was
awesome. I think they peed on Missy Hyatt one time.
Oh, Missy.
Dude, didn't you ever hear that one Wrestling Is Ever Live where Dave's talking about the Freebirds peeing on people?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also because the Freebirds only peed on you if they liked you.
I don't need to be liked that bad.
I swear to God, Dave Mills is going on for like 5 minutes talking about the Freebirds peeing on people.
I would rather be around me.
I think my favorite story is the one where they were on that flight from hell.
Oh, the plane route to I think it was England. They were going to England or something.
Yes.
Coming back from England.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we had you had things like Ric Flair walking down the aisle of the plane in nothing but his robe, and
to commandeer the intercom and start singing to his ex-wife.
That's right. And then
Brock and Kurt Hennig going at it by the emergency door.
Right.
I mean,
Kurt
shit
was
going down on this plane ride.
Okay, yeah, but then somebody. And they didn't know for a long time whom it was. Somebody, as Michael P.S. Hayes has passed out, cut off his skull.
Actually, he was knocked out because I think JBL knocked him out. Because he did
something. Oh, that's right.
JBL cold cocked
him. He punched him out because he was playing
blue. This was years before Joey Styles knocked out JBL.
So somebody cut off his ponytail, and then he was absolutely belligerent, just, you know, who did it? And then for the longest time, and I think it was like a couple of years ago, it finally came out who it was, right?
It was more than a couple of years ago, because I've known that for like almost 10 years, I think, when that happened.
Okay. But it was X-Pac, but nobody.
And they pinned it like to something at the TV show, like at Backstage Raw. They pinned it like to a board or something where they have all the matches or something listed.
That's
they pinned
awesome.
A ponytail up there.
That's awesome.
And then didn't he get in trouble for, like, didn't Rosa go to rehab? And then later on, he got in trouble because he was trying to get her to go party with him or drink or some shit like that.
I know he had to be drug off stage at Stephanie McMahon's wedding when he was singing and commandeered the microphone. I remember that story. Definitely. They had to drag him off stage. He's up there and he's drunk.
Oh, you can't write stuff like this.
He was drinking. I think he was drink so much they had to actually put him on that anti-abuse stuff that if you drink you get like violently ill.
Right.
I think Scott Hall had to be on that for some reason at one point in his life or several points in his life.
They put Scott Hall on that, and then they put him in an angle where Stone Cold is pouring beer all over him, and
oh, that's right.
He would get sick just for having a beer pour.
Oh my goodness!
And it's almost amazing that he's, you know, of all the trouble that he's gotten in, you know, the racism, the drunk, this, that. He's still there, you know what I mean? And honestly, he's probably one of the few people that has something that's good or makes sense. If there's anything that makes sense at all, I'm sure it came from him because it sure as hell didn't come from the writers, you know what I mean? So I'm actually worried for the day that he's no longer there creatively because, you know, I mean, he's got the mind for the business and they hire people who don't. And, I mean, he's
kind of old school mind for the business in there.
Yeah, like there are like written rules regarding wrestling matches. You know what I mean? Like Ricky Steamboat, you don't take more than 3 moves without firing back at least once. You know what I mean? And the Freebirds, Michael Hayes, one of the greatest advice. Mick Foley talks about this all the time. Even though you're the heel, you have to believe you're right, and that makes the best heels when the heels actually believe it and think that they're the victim. They're the you know what I mean? They're in the right. And, you know, that those are the best heels that follow that instruction. And, you know what I mean? So, you know, I would hate it when he's no longer part of the company.
He's pretty awesome on the Legends Roundtables on the network, too, I'm going to say. If you ever go watch any of those, pretty damn good.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. He's pretty funny. And Craig, do you have any more thoughts or anything else you want to talk about the Freebirds before we let you go? Or you gotta go?
Yeah, I don't. Like I said, I wish I had more time to watch the network. It seems like I'm so busy all the time, but the very, very little I've seen of all three of the Freebirds, not just Michael Hayes and stuff like that, but like all three of them. The one thing that it's missing in wrestling today is that the bad guys can't look stupid. And when I say that, I mean, in a match, there were times where with the Four Horsemen, they would have Arn running into Flair. They would be all discombobulated and not, you know, going to the wrong corner and, you know, getting punched and all of that. And that is so missing from wrestling today. And the very few things that I've seen with the Freebirds, those guys were awesome at it. Michael Hayes had no problem looking like a complete buffoon in the ring. And if the heels or the guys backstage, whomever is booking the heels, if they would just let them look dumb when they're in the ring, pratfalls and bumping into each other, looking like complete buffoons, you would get such a huge reaction when they actually do get the heat on the baby faces. And they just don't do that anymore. I mean, you can do a little ha-ha and do a little gaga in the ring, and then you know, when the heels come, make their comeback and they're getting the heat on the baby faces, it means so much more that they've got their crap together. You know what I mean?
These days they make the baby faces look stupid when they should never look stupid.
Exactly. The baby faces always look like a star. And, man, the Freebirds were good at that. Michael Hayes bumping like a, you know, just you know, the slip on the banana peel, the you know what I mean, just all of that. He was
it's
so
hard
good
for
at what the mic
heels these days. Like back in the day, you know, heels didn't do like a lot of flashy stuff like these high spots, because the high spots are what get you cheered. You know, you didn't see a lot of that back like in the 80s and stuff. You know, like these days you'll see heels doing the flips and, you know, doing the big dives out of the ring and stuff. And, you know, I always thought that was weird. I mean, why would you have a heel do that when, you know, it's going to get over with the people? You know, it's like to get cheered. So that's one way that things have changed.
And the Freebirds were so good at it. Like, it could still be like that, the 1-6-man match I'm talking about. It's a total heated rivalry, serious match. But they can still do it, throw on a spot where Buddy gets knocked off the ring apron. You know, they throw Michael Hayes and he runs into Buddy. Buddy goes flying, and you know, everyone starts laughing. And then it goes back to
the break,
you know, and then Hayes is like,
where they,
hey,
they,
you know,
chubby.
Buddy's like holding his ass, and Michael Hayes is like, what the hell's going on? What happened? You know, and they do that, and then they go right back to being serious. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
They were so good at like incorporating that, and they could do it at any time. You know what I mean? It could, like I say, it could be a blood feud, and then they're doing comedy spots, and it gets over because of the way they do it and stuff. So, yeah, they were just the greatest six-man tag team of all time, basically.
I can't argue. They're awesome. It's well deserved. They're going into the Hall of Fame. I'm actually surprised it took this long. And I guess you guys can argue about the how Jimmy Garvin goes in, but you know, who really cares? You know, I know Missy.
I know
was
it don't matter.
Very,
it doesn't
I know
matter.
It doesn't
and then
matter. Missy
being
was
in Dallas.
Missy
you know,
was really
upset about being
it.
Inducted in Dallas. I mean, that's another reason why Jimmy's part of it, because he was, like I say, he was a big part of that run in Dallas.
He was a hot act in Dallas, so makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, anyone – and I'm also claiming victory, even though I was going to win anyway, but since James decided not to call in, he got cold feet, you know what I mean? I guess he's in Hawaii hanging out with Vinny V or something, but he's not calling in here. So I claim victory, and I demand to be moved up in the smartest man of the empire list from 8 to whatever.
Well, I laugh when we get into debates over the WWE Hall of Fame. It's like
– yeah, thank you.
Speaking
you know,
of which, I'm, did either one of you see their debut in WWE? Their like 1 month run, they like.
I believe if you go to my YouTube channel, I've got some old WWF TV shows from '84. I think it might have their debut on one of those because they came out with, I think, Cyndi Lauper and David Wolf.
I was reading about that on Wikipedia, oddly enough. And I was shocked to even know that. It says that they were part of the Rock and Wrestling Connection with Cyndi Lauper. And I'm like, I don't remember that at all.
And really,
they
thank God they didn't say that.
That
would have ruined them, I think.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Very possible.
So, yeah, took them just a couple weeks to get fired.
I think they just left. So they didn't. You know, they just didn't like it there. Maybe they had too many rules or something. I don't know.
Yeah, them rules always get in the way.
He did. My guy never went back until he needed to for money. So.
Well, it was the right time.
Right.
That's when he made some money.
All right, boys. I got to bounce. You guys have a nice rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Okay, cool. Well, anything else you want to talk about regarding them, Couture? Or we could go ahead and end the show right here.
Kerry Gordy,
you know,
I
forgot to ask Craig about his thoughts on the other video they did.
Because what?
The boys are back in town.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Buddy was saying
that was a decent song. That was a good song, too. I like that.
Yeah. Well, fuck it, it was Leonard Skinner. I mean, no, wait, was it? Who was saying Boys Are Back in Town? Oh, Thin Lizzy. Thin Lizzy sang Boys Are Back in Town.
This is back when I was very young. I thought they they actually wrote the song, so.
Well, that did a good job. And then
I might have thought they actually wrote Freebird back when I was a kid, so who knows.
That's another thing, you know, that's another one. As awesome as Bad Street USA was, Freebird was fucking just as awesome, man. You hear those opening chords.
It's like one of the, in all of rock and roll, it's like maybe like one of the most famous songs of all time, if not the most famous, if you think about it.
Yeah, so, they always fuck. And then I heard, like, the one six-man match, I keep talking about that song on YouTube. It's the 4th of July. It's at, like, the Texas State Fair. And you're kind of expecting to hear either Freebird start or maybe Bad Street. And to really fucking troll the audience, they came out to Willie Nelson singing Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So the first...
Yeah.
You start hearing Willie, and you kind of hear the crowd kind of popping a little bit, and then you hear, Georgia, Georgia. And then the crowd just, they're like, oh, my God, no, you didn't. they changed wrestling, with the music. The music is such a big... How many fucking DVDs has WWE put out of theme songs, since?
Mm-hmm.
It's big business with theme songs and stuff. So, and that's all credit
to
the
awesome. Back when theme songs were awesome, because they used, like, real music before all this copyright bullshit killed theme music.
Right? Like, I remember, everyone had, Kerry had Rush, Modern Day Warrior. The Fantastics had Sharp Dressed Man. Bad Leroy Brown had Bad Leroy Brown.
Yeah.
It was basically made Gunstar a character
Dog had another
on
one
the
bites
song.
Another one bites the dust
in
Gunstar Dog.
In the song, they say meaner than a junkyard dog. Yeah, so he came up with a character based on that one line in a fucking rock song. That's fucking crazy. And I remember they signed the first $1 million contract when they went to UWF, and they kind of made a big deal about that. Yeah. So, fuck, dude, everything about the Freebird is awesome. The one War Games where it's Hayes, Gordy, and Jimmy and the Samoan SWAT team.
Yeah.
That was an awesome match where Dr. Death presses Gordy over his head and bounces him off the top of the cage, and then at the very
Michael
Hayes is the last one to go in, and Paul Heyman is like, you gotta go, and Michael Hayes, you gotta go.
He didn't think he was gonna have to go in his fucking match.
Freebird's awesome.
If you go to YouTube, I don't have this actually up on my channel, but there's about 6 hours of the Freebirds in Georgia. If you go to the search and type in Best of the Fabulous Freebirds, they've got like a compilation of the Freebirds when they were in Georgia and stuff like that. So if you want to check that out.
Yeah, when I was looking for the video, I kind of came across it. It said like Best of the Freebirds Part 1, and it was like the picture you could see. It was Gordy standing. The one I saw, like one of the ones I saw was like Gordy with like Snuka. So it's like, covers that.
Yeah.
So everyone, check that out. I mean, if you haven't seen the Freebirds or you just have heard of them, don't know what the big deal is, look up the Freebirds and prepare to have your mind blown. But other than that, anything else?
No, I can't think of anything else to talk about. I guess next week we got to preview that show on Saturday night, right?
Yeah, the house show that's going to be on the network.
The Roadblock show, I guess what they're calling it, with Triple H and
Roadblock.
Got Triple H and Dean Ambrose for the title, and it's got Brock and Bray Wyatt. So at least they're going back to that, so they can get his heat back from that.
Yeah, no kidding. That way they can kind of explain that. Yeah, so we'll be back. We'll preview that, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of other stuff to talk about. And we'll see everybody next week.
will sway. But when they see the slow down the street, they ran the other way.
Fast, free, Atlanta, PA. Fast, free, in the whole USA. Fast, free, Nazi and I.
The good guy, like you and the better you got. Your bed, not to be a brow. Go lay next to your bed, chill, get the cops call. You might as well call the Army or the United States Marine. Don't see nobody handle this bad street scene.
Bad street in Atlanta, PA. Bad street in the whole USA. Bad street, Nancy and I.
The further down I got you is the better you got.
Yeah.